eventually is undefeated, eventually never loses. Welcome to the Grow Time Business Devo, where we explore God's principles for living a high-performance life. My name is Ken. I'm going to say, I have a bit of a cold today. All right, I'm losing my voice, and I wasn't going to do a Devo this morning. I wasn't going to record anything, but then my morning Devo led me back to Psalm 37. And Psalm 37 is, in my Bible, it's labeled the heritage of the righteous and the calamity of the wicked. My own headline for this Psalm is evil people do not win. The reason I wanted to record this Devo for you today is I wanted to share some things that I was thinking about, and there were some situations that are happening in my life that made this really important. And when I was reading it today, it was just impacting me. And I think hopefully it helps you as well. I'm going to read most of the Psalm. The Psalm is, almost 40 verses. I'm not going to read all of them. I'm going to read most of them. And then I just have a very simple takeaway. But here's why I think it's important. I don't know what you're pursuing, but here's the deal. When you're pursuing something, when you're leading something, like I run a business, I run several businesses. There are often times where people are attacking us. And I use the word attack as a broad term. Like, people can try and, threaten you. We get bullied. People on social media that could be mean. There's all sorts of things, right? Right. There's all sorts of stuff that when you put yourself out there, like you open yourself up for attack. And when you're leading something and when you're running a business and when you're bringing products to market and when you're serving people, like you're even more exposed to that. And that can be really challenging. And then I want to say the flip side of that is there are people out there, there are businesses out there, and this is unfortunate. In the U.S., there's a lot of great business people. I meet them all the time. But there's a lot of people who operate with very low integrity, who operate out of a bullying mentality, who get their way by being incredibly rude, mean, angry, and putting leverage on people. Not only get their way, but also try and finagle what they want, even when it's not just, even when it's not what they deserve or not what they paid for. And thankfully, I don't run into that very much because we protect ourselves from those kind of things. And we've learned the hard way on how to put things together and also how to avoid the jerks, right? That's one of our main goals is like filter out all the people who are the evildoers, who are the people who will take advantage of you, right? But they still sometimes get through. And unfortunately, that exists a lot in the business culture in the US. It actually exists a lot in the consumer culture. When people realize that they can take advantage of a company, a policy that was written a certain way and wasn't intended, one way, but then they can try and use a loophole and leverage it and all these kinds of things. Like they're just like, this is how a lot of people operate. And when you run an integrity-focused business, the great thing is you can avoid a lot of that kind of stuff, but you're still susceptible to those kind of things to you. And it can be really challenging to go through that. And so I don't know if you're going through that or if you have gone through those kind of things. I know I have in the past. And every time I have, I've come back to this Psalm because it always gives me hope that I don't have to worry about it. And it gives me peace. And so maybe this, without whatever situation you're in, will give you peace as well. I'll also say, it's not just about giving you peace. It's also about warning you about how you do business and how you operate, okay? Because you don't want to fall into the category of the wicked as it's described here. Okay, so let's read some of this. First one, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass. and wither as the green herb. You'll notice that "do not fret" is mentioned many times in this psalm. This psalm was written by David, by the way. And just as a side note, it was written by David. David was one of the great kings. David was very powerful. He was very rich. He was very successful. And he had a lot of enemies, right? He was the man after God's own heart, and he still had a lot of enemies. And he was still in situations where he was very afraid. And clearly, when people are attacking you, or you realize that there are people that are unjust, that have evil intentions, that are around, those can create worry, right? And that can be something that if you're worried about something, you're not able to lead. If you're worried about something, you're not able to have an abundant mindset to actually expand what you're doing. And so worry is critical to remove if you're going to be successful. And the irony of it is, the more successful you get, the more exposed you are, and the more potential worry there is. So figuring this out is important, and it's not no surprise that it says it over and over again. So it says, "Do not fret," several times. Verse 3, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." In my Bible, I wrote a note that this is our job. And I've mentioned, I've actually read this portion of scripture before and done a devo on it. And so you may have heard that one. But what's interesting here is we're told not to worry about the evildoers. And all we have to do is trust in the Lord and do good, right? Sometimes when people are doing evil things to you, you want to do evil things to them, right? And sometimes when people are winning, quote, winning by doing evil things, then you wonder if you're at a disadvantage by not doing evil things. Well, it turns out here, evil never wins. I have a mentor who says, eventually is undefeated. Okay, what that means is, eventually, these people will be cut down, as we see. So you don't have to worry about that. You don't want to do that. So your job is trust in the Lord. Do good, which the good is the easy thing. It's the thing you know to be right, the thing that you're probably already doing. Just keep doing that. Dwell in the land. Right? That is not running. That's staying. That's ownership. That is abiding in the land. Like, it's not running and hiding. Feed on his faithfulness. Again, it's not starving. It's eating. It's feed. It's doing and accepting the goodness that you're getting and living in it. Delight yourself in the Lord. That's really understanding the success principles that are woven into the Bible. It's interesting how when you delight on the laws of the Lord and delight on the Lord, it's really looking to something that is like the perfect model of success. And that's what that is. It's really observing and modeling and breaking apart what it is that makes God so beautiful, right? What it is that, like all of the things that he's woven into the universe that are the success principles, like exploring those things, finding them, researching them. Like, that's what you delight yourself on. And he shall give you the desires of your heart. What's cool is, it starts by saying that clearly there are evildoers, there are people that are attacking you, that are threatening you, right? And if you do these things, you'll actually still just get the desires of your heart, right? The things that they're trying to take away, you'll actually get. Commit your way to the Lord and trust in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Whatever conflict the evildoers, the people who are threatening you, the bullies, whatever they're causing, the justice will be brought by God. You don't have to bring it yourself. And that's the peace. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Rest is not sleepless nights, right? It's not worrying and thinking about these things. It's not thinking about how to get back at them. It's just resting, right? It's recovering. It's being renewed, right? And then waiting, being peaceful, waiting patiently. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. Right? Again, the idea of someone supposedly getting success by doing things that you know are not the right way to do them. Like, don't worry about that guy. Because do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. He says, do not fret so many times here. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. What's interesting is anytime anyone's ever done something unjust to me or attacked me, you get a righteous anger. And that's good. I believe to some extent that's important. But only for a small period of time, and then it starts to distract you, right? And then it starts to turn negative. And the truth is if you're angry and you have a lot of wrath, then you're not focused on your mission, what you're supposed to be doing, right? And so that's why we should cease from anger. It's not because they don't deserve it. It's because you don't deserve it. And that's the beautiful part about it. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. You may think, it may look like someone who's doing evil is finding some success, but eventually is unbeaten, right? They will get what's coming to them. They will be cut off. Justice will be brought to them at some point. But if you wait on the Lord, you will inherit the earth. That means that's the earth. That's not heaven. That's the earth. That's like the things here. Like the things that you're pursuing, this is the path to getting them. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. Makes it clear that you will see a time when that wicked person or those people are no more. There was a story, a situation in my life a few years ago. There was this person, I won't name him obviously, that was very evil, I would say categorized exactly like this, was unjustly attacking me and one of my companies for unjust reasons. It was essentially, he was completely evil and he knew it. It was like the unjust nature of it was consuming me right at the time. And so this psalm was one of the ones that I would come back to. It was interesting. Over time, I was able to get my focus back to where it was supposed to be and just let God deal with it. And what's fascinating, and I'm not saying this happens all the time, and I don't know that God did this. Obviously he did in some capacity, but within a few months of that person, you know, doing these evil things, you know, and knowing that they were immoral and that they were, they had low integrity and that they were unjust and all these different things, right? It was, you know, it was dishonest. It was all these things. Within a few months, that person's business got destroyed. It was got taken away. And you know, what's funny is I look at it and I'm like, oh, that there was justice served. But it's not even that miraculous if you think about it. If you do evil things, if you act dishonestly in one area, then you've probably done that in a whole bunch of other areas. Or if you act unwisely in one area, you've probably done that in a whole bunch of other areas, right? And so it's not a surprise that eventually they all tumble down. When I read this, it gives me peace that I don't have to fight those battles. Those battles are fighting themselves. God's fighting them. And it's, you know, I had this, I have a firearm instructor who, certain mistakes that you'd make with holding a firearm, right? It's very important that you hold it the right way and that you operate it the right way. And if you make certain mistakes, the way he refers to it is a self-correcting problem, right? Because you'll do it once, you'll get really hurt, and you'll never do that again, right? And so evil doing, this dishonest way of life is a self-correcting problem, and you don't have to correct it. I think that's the powerful, peaceful thing about it. I'll read a few more verses and then I'll wrap up here. The wicked plots against the just and gnashes his teeth with him. I'm sorry, gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn their sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, to slay those who are of upright conduct. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. I love this little passage because it diminishes the wicked so much to where the Lord God is laughing at them. And then everything's literally backfiring on them, right? Their sword will enter their own heart. The things that they are, the seeds that they're sowing are going to come back and destroy them. And look, we know the principle. You reap what you sow, right? So if you sow bad seed, you're going to reap bad harvest. So sow good seed. And don't worry about the people who sow bad seed. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. Have you ever had someone who, maybe you've felt like this, who's just been dishonest? You'll realize real quick if you're going to live a dishonest life, you have to have a really good memory because you're spinning a lot of plates. And I've never seen a person of low integrity and evil, an evil doer, right? A person who's got a poor character as they're running a business. I've never seen that person not have a lot on their plate, right? The weight of the world is on them because they're literally keeping everything up with their own arms. It's interesting here. To me, that's what I see when I read this is that the arms of the wicked are trying to hold their, eventually it's compounding, they're holding everything up by themselves and they'll be broken. But the Lord upholds the righteous. If you're righteous, you don't have to do any of that. You just live, you just operate and God upholds all that stuff. And their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. Verse 20, in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. That's really, again, these are powerful things, right? Like when everyone else, so when there's famine and when there's bad business and when there's economic seasons that are really challenging, guess who's going to suffer? The one who sows the evil seed, right? And the person who's wise, person who's righteous, the person who's doing good, doesn't have to worry about that. And again, if you're building a business, this is really good news. This is really powerful because you just operate in the mission that you're called to. You do good, right? You commit your way. You trust in the Lord. You dwell in the land. You delight, right? And the rest is God's. So in the days of famine, you'll be satisfied, but the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord, like the splendor of the meadows, shall vanish into smoke. They shall vanish away. Again, like they'll be wiped off the face of the planet. Their name will be forgotten. You may think they're succeeding. They may think they're succeeding. It may seem like they're winning, but eventually is undefeated. And that's something to remember. The wicked borrows and does not repay, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. For those blessed by him shall inherit the earth, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. You know, have you ever met someone, and this is what I was talking about in business. Sometimes there are these people who try and really take advantage of every situation they can get into. So they essentially are dishonest and they essentially steal, right? It's theft. When you're taking advantage of someone or you're leveraging someone in a way that is against their will and against their intention, but you're doing it anyway for your own benefit. You're oppressing them. You're stealing. It's theft. The wicked borrows and does not repay. They basically steal, right? But the righteous shows mercy and gives. The challenge is to continue being righteous even when you're being oppressed in certain areas. The challenge is to continue showing mercy, right? And giving, which is generosity, even when you're being oppressed. But here's the powerful thing, and here's why it's so important. Being generous and investing big. It is required for your success. So you are not able, right? Your success will not allow you to say that to be scarce-minded, to not be generous, to say that something is too expensive. You can't afford to say something is too expensive. So go watch that video separately if you're interested in that. It relates to this because the reason it's so important to continue to show mercy and give is not, I don't believe necessarily because God needs it or because the people that you're giving to need it. It's because you need it. In order to be successful, you must be able to show mercy so you can receive mercy. And you must be able to give at great levels because you must maintain a very abundant mindset. So you always, in order to believe that there's more and expand what you're doing and create success, you must actually believe it. You must operate in it. And giving is one of the actions that actually creates that. Verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, right? So we get our orders by God, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. This is really powerful from a wealth generation and a pedigree standpoint, right? Like, if you are a righteous person, it's valuable not just for you. It's valuable not just for your team. It's valuable not just for your business and for the people that you lead and your customers, but it's also valuable for your family and it's valuable for your descendants. That's what's interesting. I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging for bread. It doesn't say the descendants are righteous. It just says the descendants of the righteous. Hopefully your descendants are righteous. But like this doesn't even require, at least in this verse, that they be righteous to not beg for bread. It's that if you're righteous, they won't beg for bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. So doing the opposite of the evildoer doesn't even just help you now, help you in the future of what you're doing, but it helps your descendants. Super powerful. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loves justice. By the way, the fact that he loves justice is why one of the reasons why we don't have to worry about justice being served. God loves justice. And if the evildoer, the bully, the wicked person, the one who's trying to take advantage, the one who's trying to oppress, the one who's operating dishonestly, if that person is doing that, then God will bring justice. And he does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. Right? The good people do win. That's what that means right there. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Do you realize what it says here? The mouth, this is talking all about words. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom. Well, in order to speak wisdom, you must have wisdom. In order to have wisdom, you must ask for wisdom and pursue wisdom. And that's really important. And evildoers don't do that, which is part of the reason why they're in the situation that they're in, right? But you have the opportunity to do that. So you should be, right? When you speak it, it happens. His tongue talks of justice, not of dishonesty, but of good things. The law of his God is in his heart. He's studied it. He's dissected it. He's made it his life goal to understand it. And all of the revelations of studying it, of the success laws, they're in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. You ever have that feeling of when you're just like, you understand how something works? And when you understand the parameters of how something works, all of a sudden it just becomes like a game you can't lose, right? You're just a game that you're going to win. That's what this means to me. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. I felt like I've had that feeling of people like feeling like the wicked are out there seeking to proverbially, whatever the word is, slay. I can't speak today. Slay me in business or trying to be sleazy and do something dishonest or something like that. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. I've seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a native green tree. Yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found. This is David talking about how someone through dishonest means or low character or evil doing or whatever that is, rose to what seemed like great heights and great success, and then still passed away, and then was no more. And he even looked for him, and he couldn't be found. Mark the blameless man and observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace. This speaks to modeling, and I won't get into this. This will be a verse for another Devo. But like this is saying, find someone who's excellent, who's another righteous, wise doer of good, and note who that is. Better yet, be that person for other people and observe those people, right? Study them, model them, because the future of that person is peace. That's what you want. But the transgressor shall be destroyed together. The transgressor shall be destroyed together. The future of the wicked shall be cut off, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. He is their strength in the time of trouble, right? And if you've done the right things, if you're doing good, then God's your strength. He's going to handle everything else. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust him. He shall help them and deliver them. Deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust him. That's powerful because he does all those things. But why? Because they trust him. So the prerequisite for all that is that you trust him. And so that's the end of the psalm. Here's my question to you after that. You know, on the one side, like, are you being oppressed by something, someone? Are you being attacked? If so, what should you do? According to this psalm, the things that we should do is do not fret, trust, do good, dwell in the land, feed on his faithfulness, delight in the Lord, commit your way to him, have your steps ordered by him, and trust in him. Maybe oppression in some ways is good because it makes you better at those things, right? It makes you better at our job, the things that are our job, and things that are our job actually have really, really great benefits and great results attached to them, right? Descendants being blessed, inheriting the earth, giving you the desires of your heart, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so that's the side on doing good. But here's the other question I have for you, because I think it's one that you have to ask yourself, especially as an entrepreneur. You know, a lot of people that are pursuing great things, those great things are exciting, and sometimes you want them really, really badly. Sometimes you desire them really, really badly. Sometimes so much that you're willing to sacrifice your integrity, sacrifice your morals. I've been tempted by that kind of stuff. And I know sometimes you can see other people, you don't even realize it. It's like the status quo is like, I have to operate this way if I want to succeed. So in order to succeed, I have to do these things. How many companies do we see today that are being unwise with how they're acting, right? In how they enter social conversations or how they operate their business. And they say one thing, but they do something else. They say good, but they do evil. There are many big companies that do that, right? They say good, but they do evil. So I think you have to ask yourself this. Are you operating at a high moral standard or a low moral standard? Are you operating with low integrity in any area? Are you bullying other people? Are you oppressing other people? Are you putting the squeeze on some people? Do you operate in an unkind and mean way to try and get your way with people that you feel like can't fight back or maybe are weaker than you? If so, then I think this psalm, if it's not clear to you, should make you watch your back and hopefully turn away from those things. Because bad deeds don't go unpunished, right? Eventually is undefeated. Eventually never loses. Even when you're, you know, dealing with somebody else, you're in a negotiation and you're tempted to try and squeeze someone like in a way that you know is going to damage them. I've seen this in business over and over again. Maybe it's in how you deal with contracts. A lot of businesses operate in that they'll sign anything, and that because they'll just break it later if they want to. Like, that's dishonest. That's low integrity. That's evil. That's wrong. And if you operate that way, you'll be cut off. And that's not what you want, right? Like, God's going to bring the justice. And so I think we have to look at our business dealings and look at ourselves and say, are we operating in the way of the evildoer at all? Like, is that at all happening with us? Because if it is, you kind of want to rid that completely. It's better to lose a little bit, money or whatever else, and operate with integrity than to sacrifice your integrity in order to save some money or make some money or whatever. That's what I got for you today. I hope this was helpful to you. I hope that if you are being oppressed or attacked or bullied in some way, that you can get some peace in this and realize that you're not, no matter how small you are, you're not in this battle alone, and you're not the one that's going to have to fight it. And I've thankfully experienced that blessing. And then also, assess your business dealings, and if you're operating in any of these ways with low integrity, then I would say you need to stop it right now, right? And it would be smart and wise to operate in it with good, with goodness, with integrity, with honesty. Don't say good and do evil in your business. Thank you for listening today. I hope this helps you live a more successful life. For more information about the BizDevo, you can go to bizdevo.com. That's BizDevo.com. And if you'd like to learn more about me, you can go to kenott.com. That's kenott.com. Thanks. I apologize for my voice again. And until next time, never stop growing.